Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast episode, where it's going to be a little bit more of a personal share on my decision and process to end my relationship of almost 7 years. I've been very transparent with you guys about my relationship, you know, sharing insights where I can to help you as much as I can. So I feel like you kind of know me on an intimate level, and it's only fair that I, you know, let you know kind of what's going on and really give you any learnings from this experience that can maybe help you in any way. And I just wanted to preface and say that these are purely my own insights, and it's not to paint him in a negative light. He is a beautiful human being who I still deeply love and care about. So these insights purely serve as learnings. There is much more to us than our differences, right? We can be good people, but just incompatible for each other. Also, there is no demonizing any attachment styles. Our attachment styles are merely adaptations that we learned from our caregivers and, you know, relationships throughout our lives. And they're often passed down to us from generations before us. So, of course, you know, it is our responsibility to take, to acknowledge these things and do something about it if it is harming us or harming others, or just causing, you know, just causing sabotage for us and others. But again, that is our own personal journey and preference and decision if that's something that we want to do. So even though this breakup is extremely heartbreaking, as any grieving process, any detachment process is painful and hard and difficult and has its ups and downs and fluctuations, it's also been a beautiful learning experience that I wanted to touch on with you guys, because I talk to you guys. I know that there's many of you going through similar experiences, whether you are currently broken up, whether you're in a relationship and you're having these doubts, and you're really questioning about whether you're feeling, you know, what you're feeling is coming from fear and insecurity, or if the doubts or the uncertainty or, you know, unhappiness that you're experiencing is coming from a place of truth and self-knowing. Often with insecure attachment styles, we can get very lost and confused with our emotions, because a lot of the time we don't have a very good relationship to our emotions. And so rather than trusting them, we doubt them, we contemplate them, we deny them, we justify them, when really we need to learn to embrace them and actually listen. So hopefully this episode can help inspire this process for you. So the reason I pondered this specific question of should I break up or stay in my relationship is because I didn't want to impulsively jump the gun and make this drastic decision and perhaps make a terrible decision, which was kind of my habit as a prior fearful avoidant attacher, just being very impulsive in my decisions. But in this relationship, I was very in tune and vocal about my feelings and needs, which I think is why it was so healthy in so many ways. He was also very open and receptive and held a lot of space for me to do so. And so I think that's what kind of made it hard for me to accept the fact that, you know, this was a healthy relationship and yet I was unhappy, right? Like, how can we be in a healthy relationship and not be happy and not be satisfied? Like, this was a whole other experience for me that I've never been through. And this is why I overcompensated as much as I did, because I was desperate to make it work with this person who was innately a good human. But, you know, just because a relationship is healthy and the person that we're with is a good person and good-hearted, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right relationship for us. And this was a huge learning lesson for me, because prior to Miles, there were evident reasons for breaking up. Okay, like very toxic behaviors. There was a lot of emotional abuse. There was verbal abuse, even physical abuse sometimes, right? Just very evident reasons for breaking up, or for justifying someone's behavior, or justifying why the relationship didn't work. It was easy to kind of categorize that person as you are bad, and right, a means to leave and a means to really let go of that person. But how do you justify breaking up with someone when it's simply a matter of core differences and incompatibilities? So this is where the insecure part of me was met with the secure part of me, and where I realized how much growth I've made to be able to accept this realization and honor it for both myself and him. Because ultimately, you guys, you know, if we put our insecurities aside, we just want the best for the people we love. Even if it means no longer being a part of their life in the way that we know. And this has been extremely saddening for me, but also reassuring in many ways, because, you know, just as they may perhaps find someone more compatible in the future and find happiness in the future, so will we. We often forget about ourselves because we're so preoccupied thinking about the other person and, oh my God, I set them up for success with somebody else and da-da-da-da-da. But it's, we've also set ourselves up for success as well, and we have to think about all the possibilities and opportunities for us and our future and all the amazing things that, you know, may come our way. And yeah, you know, we get caught up in the possible outcomes for their lives, that again, we forget that we too have a life and we will have the opportunity to grow and expand and meet wonderful people that perhaps share more in common with us, because now we know ourselves more intimately. So, not to get sidetracked, but today I'm going to be sharing some insights on, you know, what it's like to be on the other side of that fear, on the other side of that uncertainty. I want to say that there's still a lot of uncertainty that I'm experiencing right now, and there's still a lot of fear that I'm experiencing. But in terms of, like, did I make the right decision? I definitely feel like I did. And anyways, going to share some of that insight with you in terms of how to be on the other side of that decision, right? Making that decision and how that's been feeling for me. And then, you know, and just in hopes that it gives you clarity around your own relationship decisions. So, and I do apologize in advance if some of these insights are they seem kind of scattered or unorganized. I just wrote a bunch of stuff down that I think that would be helpful and would perhaps pertain to maybe what you're experiencing. So bear with me here. So over the years, in recording these episodes, again, I've been very transparent about our relationship challenges with you. I have a history of having a fearful avoidant attachment style, leaning more anxious. And Miles, my now ex, has a secure attachment, leaning more avoidant. And reflecting back on our relationship now that I'm outside of it, even though I saw a lot of this stuff while being in it as well, I see more of his avoidant tendencies, which ultimately was a factor, it wasn't the only factor, but it was a big factor in my decision to separate. There were also some bigger factors that played into this decision, such as me wanting to live in California full time, as opposed to Colorado, you know, where we built a life together over the years, and also just wanting more stability in my life, where he, you know, likes constant change. So those differences naturally are very challenging to work with. Also important to consider and acknowledge and accept that it is okay to have wanted something, right? To have dreamt up something, to have wanted something with a partner at one point and then changed your mind. It is absolutely okay, you guys, to change your mind about not wanting this life that you created, that at some point, you know, you planned together, that at some point you talked about, that at some point you desired, and then you get there and it's like, oh, this actually isn't what I want. So this is all part of the process of living and taking risks and, you know, trying to find your happiness, trying to make things work. We really, really have to remove the shame around changing our mind. But prior to meeting Miles, I was on a journey to healing and recovering from my past traumas and relationships and really just learning how to love myself and connect with myself. And when I met Miles, he was very different than my exes. I usually had a specific type, and those relationships usually ended terribly. They were very exciting. They were passionate, unpredictable, kind of chaotic. Whereas Miles was very stable, very structured, very calm, very reliable in a lot of ways. I think like our second date, I told him, I was like, you give me soldier vibes. Like he just reminds me of a soldier because he's very, very grounded and like systematic about things and has particular ways of doing things. But I just felt this sense of like safety with him. And what I tell my clients is that when we start to embody the traits that we want to experience with others, we can better recognize it and appreciate it when we come across it. And that's essentially how I even allowed Miles into my life, because I was doing the work to harness a lot of those qualities that he embodied, right? Previous to him and in my earlier life, I was, again, very disorganized, very ungrounded, felt very chaotic in a lot of ways. And so I was doing a lot of work to really create stability in my life, to create security in my life, to create structure in my life. So when I saw that in him, it felt like a sense of, ooh, this feels okay. This feels a bit more familiar. I can invite this into my life. I can experience this into my life, And I want to say Miles seemed like a very new soul to me, even though, you know, okay, maybe we began sharing some similar traits and characteristics. He still seemed like a very new soul to me. I don't know if you guys are spiritual. I am very spiritual in a lot of ways. And it just seemed like we never had any past lives. Like this was like our first soul encounter. And so it felt very, though it felt, was beginning to feel familiar, it felt very unfamiliar. And I knew that if I wanted something I've never had, I had to be willing to do something I've never done. So I decided to go all in with him and just see where it went, because I really, truly wanted to experience something different in my life. And this love was more of a gradual growth. It wasn't love at first sight. And it was good because the slowness and patience in this process was exactly what I needed after experiencing such impulsive and tumultuous relationships prior to him. I think naturally with those of us that fall more on the avoidance spectrum, there is more of a slowness that comes with establishing intimacy, which I was fine with until we reached the 4 to 5 year mark in our relationship, and talking about marriage felt a little uncomfortable for him, though he did propose to me. that even felt forced and inauthentic, to be totally honest. Also, looking back at it now, there was an air of mysteriousness to him, aspects of himself that he kept very closed off, which I don't know if he even knew about or was able to access himself. He wouldn't like to talk about his past, let alone his relationships. And, you know, kind of had a hard time recollecting his memories and making sense of them, as avoidants generally do. And being a therapist slash coach, there are things, you know, these are things that I really value talking about and sharing with my partner. So there was a big disconnect there as well. So I ultimately found myself having to kind of adapt more to his way of doing things, his approach to things, his likings, his interests, in order to meet my needs for connection and attention. And that didn't feel truly fulfilling. Had I known at the very beginning of our relationship what I know now about attachment styles, right, that lack of self-awareness and inability to deeply connect, it would have been a bit more alarming for me. And that's only because I personally require and need a deeper level of connection and depth within my romantic relationships. So I would have assessed more thoroughly if he was able to provide that for me, as opposed to kind of just respecting his boundaries as much as I could, or not trying to rock the boat with him when it came to like this personal deeper sharing. So previous to Miles, like I, you know, mentioned, my partners were very possessive. They were very reactive, very insecure. I would say they leaned more fearful avoidant like me, which only added more fuel to the fire, as you can imagine. But Miles leaning secure with dismissive avoidant aspects, he gave me a lot of space, which also, you know, well, he gave me a lot of space while also being very supportive and consistent, okay? And visually speaking, you know, if you can imagine, right, like he was my biggest cheerleader, but always from the sidelines. I felt supported, but also extremely, extremely independent. So I often, you know, found myself just doing a lot of things on my own. Another analogy that I kind of like to use is like, imagine, you know, I'm walking on a ledge. Rather than holding my hand through that experience to ensure I don't fall, he kept an eye out for me from a distance and maybe even gave me some pointers, right, to make sure that I made it safely across the ledge. But never really kind of held my hand through the process. And I would say this is a pretty secure approach for the most part, because it promotes a sense of autonomy, right? Like your partner is still a solid foundation. They're providing support, you know, making sure that you can do it on your own. But here's the kicker, right? You know, what if some of us require more of a hands-on approach? What if rooting for us from the sidelines isn't enough? And what if we want to feel more supported, more connected, and attended to? All of these things are okay to want. So I think for someone who is more secure leaning avoidant, this approach might be perfect for them. But for me, who is secure leaning more anxious in relationships, I think I would need someone secure leaning more anxious, because they are often more willing to provide that additional hands-on support, I would say more naturally and easily. So as much as we can communicate our needs and people can try to meet them, ultimately, we are who we are, and it can be very difficult for some people to change their ways, and some might not even want to. So we really have to assess if we're okay with what we're ultimately receiving. And of course, as I always say, nobody can meet our needs 100%, but it is important that you get clear on what your core attachment needs are, because if those needs aren't getting met, you are not going to be a happy camper. We can be flexible with a lot of our relationship needs, but when it comes to our core needs, those must be met. So for example, if you are avoidant right? Having someone who can respect and honor your need for space and autonomy is important. If you are fearful avoidant, having someone that can meet your need for safety is important, right? Someone who you can trust, who is genuine, transparent, kind, stable. Those things are very, very important for you to feel safe and secure in a relationship. If you are anxious attached, having someone that can meet your need for reassurance and validation is very important. If your partner can't or isn't willing to meet these core needs for you, you will naturally feel very sad and unsatisfied in your relationship. Like I always tell my clients, we need to own our needs, okay? We need to own our needs. It's so important to do so. It's so important to develop a healthy relationship to our needs where we actually honor it as opposed to dismiss it or hate it. Or like neglect these parts of us. Having needs is very normal and very healthy as a human being. So get clear on your core attachment needs and truly assess if they are being met in your relationship. Because I'm gonna tell you, your body will let you know. Feelings are messengers of the body and they will let you know when needs are going met or unmet. I knew in my relationship that they were going unmet because I would feel a consistent sense of disconnect and loneliness in those areas of deeper connection. And these feelings are signs that there is an emotional need going unmet. And for many years, I would eradicate these feelings by traveling more, leaving Colorado more. I would, you know, renovating the house. That was a huge, huge part of, you know, our experience. You know, buying all the things to make the house cuter, more homier, growing my business, creating content. But did the feelings ever truly go away? No. Rather, as time went on and the more I invested my resources and energy into our external reality that we created together, I felt more anxious and depressed. At one point, I even moved back to Los Angeles, as some of you may know, in hopes that, you know, being back in my hometown for a little bit would make me feel better and ultimately save our relationship. I even went on antidepressants, as I shared in, you know, my podcast episodes, just hoping that it would solve the problem, that it would just make these feelings go away. But those are just band-aids, you guys. We need to look at the root of what is causing our pain. And I really didn't want to imagine a life without Miles. sorry, we're currently on the bed recording this podcast episode just to make it feel a little bit easier sharing all of this with you guys. And he is with me right now. All right, guys, we are back. Everything is under control. I was not about to re-record this episode, so we're just gonna continue from where we left off. Yes, so I went on antidepressants for a while. I tried to travel as much as I could, tried to leave Colorado as much as I could, but the feelings remained. And I waited and I waited. I invested more into our life, into our house. I gave and gave and justified and overcompensated. And after literally our final step in the home renovations of painting our floors, that was the last thing that we had to do. And mind you, the home renovations was a huge source of our stress. So I figured, okay, if I just wait till the end of all of this, it's going to get better. Things are going to get better. And what happens is that at the very end, I decided to end our relationship, which is wild. And the irony of this whole thing and this whole situation is just, it's just wild to me. It's wild to me. But also interesting to note because, you know, when the dust settles, you can see more clearly because, you know, we had so much stuff going on and it served as this kind of distraction to our relationship. And I think in many relationships, we have distractions or we create distractions with children, with work, obligations, projects, hobbies, to where we don't have the time or space to really look at ourselves or our relationships clearly. So this was really interesting to witness. And something that I also wanted to mention is that if you have an insecure attachment style like I did and am still working through in many facets, it's hard to assess what is coming from fear, right? What is coming from your fear versus what is coming from your truth? As insecure attachers, whether you're anxious, fearful, avoidant, dismissive, avoidant, or any variation of those, we can feel very confused and conflicted regarding our internal experiences. We often don't know what is healthy or unhealthy due to our cognitive distortions, right? Due to our perceptions and our experiences. So it may take more time for us to really assess how we feel. It usually takes us hitting a rock bottom, whether through, you know, emotional or physical pain, in order to look at our situation with more objectivity and discernment. And I'm so grateful that, you know, even though it was really hard, I had the tools to check in with myself and identify my feelings and needs. I'm very proud of my communication, my patience, my flexibility with trying to make our relationship work. And I'm also proud of my courage for leaving, right? Knowing that I ultimately wanted something different, despite my fears around being single at 36 years old, being alone, and leaving a very safe and solid foundation that we built in order to start all over again from scratch. All of these things are naturally very scary. They are very, very scary. So it does take a lot of courage to kind of take that leap, because you are, you know, you're seeking your happiness, you're seeking your joy. You know that you deserve more. You know that you want more. This is also why developing a relationship with yourself is so important. I think I spent so much time alone in my relationship from all the space and travel that I was able to focus so much on myself, which was a good thing in a lot of ways. Because in this process, you know, you truly learn that you can count on yourself, you can rely on yourself, you can trust yourself to have your back. You know, these are some interesting things and beneficial things with dating someone who leans more avoidant, is that it really does help you cultivate your own independence and autonomy. And it's important, right? Like when you know yourself, so whether you're in a relationship or not, what, you know, knowing yourself, knowing what your needs are, knowing your values, and really advocating for them is going to be really helpful in helping you assess who is a compatible match with you in the long run. I like to gauge it as, you know, how are you feeling most of the time? In a relationship, how are you feeling most of the time? Are you content most of the time? Or are you unhappy most of the time? Are you anxious most of the time? Or are you at peace most of the time? Are you fulfilled most of the time or dissatisfied most of the time? Really focus on the most of the time, because again, no one's gonna be able to meet your needs 100%, but most of the time, are you feeling the way you want to feel? And that's not just their responsibility to make you feel a certain way. You also have to learn how to meet your own needs. But there has to be a balance in relationships, okay? There has to be a sense of, okay, this person is willing, they make an effort to meet my needs. There needs to be that mutual reciprocation. And though Miles did meet a lot of my needs, my core needs for attention and connection were not being met most of the time because, you know, of his avoidant upbringing, he was only able to meet me so far in regards to deeper emotional connection. And what I wanted from him, I don't think he could even necessarily give to himself, which goes to show, right, that we can't change people. We can inspire them to grow, but we don't have control over their process. My responsibility is to decide if I can be okay with not getting these needs met. And because I gave it a lot of time, I could have given it more years, which many people do, and that's totally okay too. But ultimately, my body wouldn't allow me to stay any longer in those circumstances because of the depression. I mean, it would get so bad, you guys. It would get so bad, to the point where I just felt like I could not move. I could not stop crying. Everything just felt so gloomy and so dark. It was awful. It was really, really awful. So I knew that I had to change my environment. I could not stay. I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. And though it was extremely saddening and heartbreaking because I love and care about him so much, I feel a great sense of relief, which is very reassuring that perhaps I made the best decision for myself. And guess what? Another thing I wanted to mention, it's okay to need more. We are allowed to feel as though our circumstances are not good enough for us. This is knowing your self-worth and your value as a human being. Again, just because, you know, you have all the things and you have a great partner, if you're not feeling satisfied, look at those needs again. There's something there that is going unmet. And perhaps it is that you just want more from this person. Perhaps it is that you just want more from life. Or maybe what you created together is just not what you want anymore. And that's okay. So many of us insecure attachers have a hard time with this concept of needing more or are needing something different because we feel so much shame around neediness. But all humans are needs driven. It's wired in our biology, right? Just as we have physiological needs for air, food, shelter, water, we also have psychological needs for connection, belonging, trust, intimacy. And as John Bowlby says, who is the pioneer of attachment theory, we are only as needy as our unmet needs. So you will naturally be more reactive when you're in need versus when your needs are getting met. And this speaks to many insecure attachers because often they get into relationships with people that aren't able or willing to meet their needs. So naturally, right, those relationships are going to feel very anxiety inducing. They're going to feel very frustrating. They're going to feel very unfulfilling because that partner is speaking a completely different language. They don't know how to meet their needs. And a lot of them just aren't willing to meet your needs. So yeah, those are going to be tumultuous relationships. And I have to say, out of all of my relationships, I felt the most peace with Miles because he was able to meet many of my needs. But again, those core needs of attention and deeper emotional connection felt really loud within me because they weren't getting met. And I had to decide if that was okay for me in the long run, if this was ultimately sustainable. I even imagined the possibility of, you know, growing old with him and just being friends without the romanticism of true partnership that comes with that deeper connection. But again, that would be me settling. That would be me just, yeah, kind of neglecting myself and quitting on myself and my dreams and my desires, which is not fair. It's ultimately not fair. So we have to really look at the reality of a situation. We have to look at the reality of a person and make an informed decision for our lives. No more fantasizing about the potential of someone or the what ifs. We need to look at the reality of who they are, who we are, and what we're giving and being given. And this takes a lot of courage, you guys, but essentially, this is you making a decision from your secure self. This is what I teach my coaching clients, is that your secure self is always, always, always rooted in compassion. Your secure self is always rooted in confidence, in truth, and courage. So when you ask yourself, you know, what would secure me do in this situation? Try making your decisions from this place of compassion, of confidence, of truth, and courage, because insecure you often makes decisions from fear, from lacking, from scarcity, right? But secure you truly sees all the possibilities for yourself. And it's so, so beautiful when we can base our decisions and base our life from this empowered space. And if you are looking for guidance on how to better connect and align with your own secure self. You can learn more about my one-on-one attachment coaching program via the link in my bio or by visiting jessicadasilvacoaching.com. Thank you so much for listening to this. I know it was a lot of different points and insights. I hope that it could be of help in any way. I'm wishing you the very best on your journey, and just know that you are stronger than you think. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode.